Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. As a producer, director, and performer who's won an Academy Award, a Tony Award, a Golden Globe, Joel Grey has lived a complex and wondrous life on and off the stage and screen, and also behind a camera lens. In addition to his many other projects, including directing the award-winning Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish, Joel Grey has a side hustle as an art photographer. His work is in the Whitney's Permanent Collection, and in just a few weeks, in June, Joel Grey will release his fifth book of photography. It's called The Flower Whisperer. He celebrates the beauty and the mystery of tulips, roses, poppies, calla lilies, sunflowers, hydrangeas, lilies, as he takes a micro look at their petals and pistils.
And they're all real.
It's really, hi Joel. This is such a beautiful, beautiful book. This is a silly question, but are you a flower whisperer? Do you have a green thumb?
No, I mean, this is all from, you know, the market, the flower market, 28th Street.
Oh, sure.
I go there once a week, and I come home and put all the flowers all over my living room by the windows where I live on the Hudson River. So the light is magnificent.
Oh, I bet.
And it's just a joy to do.
I can think of, you know, what a wonderful way to spend time taking pictures of flowers.
Yeah, they're so interesting and complicated and sexy.
Wow. Okay. So one of the things that's interesting, and I would hope that you could
explain. You know, pistils.
Yeah, that's why they teach us about the birds and the bees and the flowers.
Yes.
The pictures are really, the colors are super saturated and vibrant. Why did you want to present the flowers this way?
It's just the way they came to me, and I couldn't get enough color.
Hmm.
If you know what I mean?
I do, actually.
I saw that the glorious color in the moment, I wanted to capture it.
What else did you want to capture about flowers? We've talked about their color, their beauty.
Their sneakiness.
Sneaky.
Their secrets. They have a lot of secrets that you don't see when you look at it first. But, you know, you play a little bit with the petals and it's very sexy.
This is always on during the day, Joel.
It's okay.
We're all adults here. We're all adults here.
Adults or grown-ups?
Oh, both. I think we're both. You said, what's sexy about flowers? As long as we're talking about it.
Well, I mean, I'm not the first. You know, Robert Mapplethorpe.
Of course.
Was a big, sexy flower person, and so was George O'Keefe.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. Showing the insides and the sexual parts of them, the way in which they reproduce, that's not something that we see walking down the street in the neighborhood flowers outside.
It's also, I'm just as a city dweller, I think anytime you see beautiful pictures of things like flowers and trees, you're immediately intrigued and it sort of takes you someplace, takes me someplace else.
Yeah.
You know?
And they have such stories inside them and memories that they stir when you see them. Like, one of the first flowers that I was really crazy about was Lily of the Valley. And that's because I was like 10 years old in Cleveland, Ohio. And I used to go to a little forest that was near our house. I wasn't supposed to, but I would go and just sort of look around. And there were these little tiny things under all the trees that smelled so crazy good. And that's how I first learned about lilies of the valley. And my first professional photograph was of lilies of the valley about 15 years ago.
My guest is Joel Gray. We're talking about his new book, The Flower Whisperer. Do you shoot film? Do you shoot digitally?
Oh, cell phone.
Cell phone?
Yeah, my first three books were with my, my regular big camera. And then I got stuck one day and I took some pictures with one of the basic cell phones that were out. And it turned out to be a book called 1.9.
That's so, what does taking photographs and taking them with an artistic eye, with an eye towards composition, an eye towards telling a story, what does doing that on a phone give you that maybe...
Immediate access to what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost yesterday. You know, it's like, boom. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Wait a minute. What is that? Well, it's the answer to a lot of questions if you're a visual person.
What made you want to explore photography? Such a, a vivacious personality and a performer, and that's sort of big in there, whereas being a photographer, it's a little bit more of an internal process.
Yes.
What drew you to it?
Well, I have this very large solitariness about me that I don't put out on the stage, but it's part of why I'm a director too, because it's about feelings and kind of indescribable actions and thoughts and colors, and it's a dreamy part of me, I guess.
Yeah, have you ever read Susan Cain's book, Quiet, about the power of introverts and how so many people who are on the stage are actually truly introverted?
Well, I am actually too.
And you need your quiet time. Introverts need to spend time alone. They need to spend time thinking about things.
Yep. And I wrote a memoir about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was pretty solitary and solitudinous.
When you were writing, did you write on a schedule? Were you someone who said, this is my job?
No.
No, you just, when the mood
hit. It came when it came.
You're in the middle of dinner. Wait, I have to write something.
No. If an idea came, I'd just sort of put it in the back burner for a minute or two, and if something was really powerful in a thought, I would write it down.
When you were writing your memoir, did you reach out to the people in your family, your close circle, to say, hey, I'm going to talk about some things that are very personal, I might talk about our relationships? Did you have those conversations?
I did, but I was very mindful of everybody's feelings and realizing that this was only from me. This is the way I saw it and the way I see it. And there were a few bumps. Had to be. But I think if you write honestly and truthfully, mm-hmm. you have to take that as part of the doing.
As you were writing your memoir, and you're writing down your memories, were there any memories that, as you looked at them at this stage in your life, you thought, oh, that isn't the way it happened, or I didn't really interpret that because I was at a certain point in my life or a certain way in my life?
I think that memory is clearly so specific and personal, and I mean, close people to me remember things totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not what happened. I said, oh, well, that's what I remember happening.
And
memory is cool.
And it's my memoir.
And it's, excuse me, pardon me.
My guest is Joel Gray. We're talking about his new book of photography. It's going to be coming out in June, called Joel Gray, The Flower Whisperer. These beautiful, vibrant photos of
flowers.
That was
a name given to me by my daughter, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, she wrote the introduction.
Yeah. Why Jennifer Gray.
Yeah. Why did you choose Jennifer? Is she a flower person as well?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And we were walking one day in Venice, California, and I was shooting the flower that I saw. Oh, look at that. And she said, you know, you're a flower whisperer.
Oh, that's excellent. She gave you the name.
Yeah. She gave me a lot. She's a wonderful girl.
That's so lovely to hear. That's lovely to hear. Sounds like you guys are you're very, very close.
Yes.
Can we talk about Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish a little bit?
When are you coming?
I have to come.
You do?
The reason I didn't come, when Steve Skybell was here, who he won the award for best actor in a musical.
Did you love him?
I did. And the only reason I didn't go is I have an 11-year-old boy who got the flu. And
that's
everywhere.
Right.
So I just couldn't, as a mom, leave him for 3 hours the day I was supposed to come see Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. So I will come now.
Come on. Was this when we were downtown?
No, you had just opened up on 42nd Street. So I will get there.
You need to come, because he's a genius. He's just so outstanding in this role.
He seems very happy.
I think
he is. To be in this role as well.
Yeah. He's a happy guy and a very, very complicated and rich actor. I mean, there's not 1 second that's exact from show to show. And that's kind of the way I used to be, too.
That's exciting. When you first came to the project, how did you envision it? And what did you see as your role as a director on something as specific as Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish?
I knew because of the circumstances of where we were going to show it, where it was going to play, in this small theater in the Museum of Jewish Heritage. And I really thought it was going to be for a very particular, small audience. But that wasn't my problem. My problem was to bring something fresh to that story. So I went back to Shalom Aleichem's Tevye and the Milkman, or Tevye the Milkman. And I just decided to tell it almost as if it's like a story play where all the actors are telling the story. And it became very simple, and the sets became simple, and the costumes became equally simple but complex. And the music was fantastic. And the story, you know, as old as time. And I found that I had a cast of 28, maybe half of them did not speak Yiddish. I don't speak Yiddish. I understand, you know, those words that everybody gets,
everybody.
And maybe a few more, but
he's a mensch.
It's different than speaking,
of course,
the language. And we had these great teachers teaching all the actors, a lot of them not Jewish, and a lot more not speaking Yiddish. So it was kind of stunning, the pressure on everybody. And I think if they had thought that it was going to be as hard as it was, they wouldn't have done it. Or would I? Because it was intense. And I think that somehow we all coalesced into a storytelling flower that we all were a part of. Pistils, stamens, and the like. And this company, it's playing now a year later, they love every night. They are there for each of their fellow actors. They're close. They have a mission. And they know that what story they're telling about immigration and about anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. although those are elements, it's still a marvelous entertainment. They're all committed. Committed. And joyful.
Since we are in this moment where anti-Semitism is on the rise and certain immigrants are being demonized by certain individuals, does the play take on a different meaning for you? Or do you think it has a different place in our culture at the moment than maybe originally, maybe 5 years ago?
Well, it wasn't really playing 5 years ago.
I mean, had it played? I mean, just the time and the moment we're in.
This particular moment, like when the shooter went to
a Temple of Life.
Yes.
Yes.
What's it? What's the town?
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Tree of Life.
Right.
Tree of Life.
We played that day. And there was a lot more weeping and crying and reminding of the fragility of life. And this recent shooting out in the West Coast, mm-hmm. It's all around us. And we're hearing about it as a new way of life from our leaders. And it's... At the same time, it's terrifying, but it's also enlightening as to what we have to watch out for and how we have to watch out for each other. Well, and then those pictures of those little boys trying to get through the fences. I mean, this country is about inclusion. It's our strength. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Those leaders work for us. So we can hire and fire them.
Okay.
Just don't forget that. That's my little plug for voting.
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Let's go.
Did I forget to ask you anything important about your book, The Flower Whisperer?
No, it's sexy.
We got that.
And
they're giving me the thumbs up, the producers.
Well, show them some of the sexy images, for God's sakes.
They are.
Oh,
my eyes. Geez. Oh, my eyes. It's radio, everybody. Jill Gray, it was a pleasure to have you in. Would you come by anytime? You want to just
back.
Chat?
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, excellent.
At what time?
We're here every day, 12 to 2.
Okay, I can come, you know, for a little bit here, a little bit there.
I love it.
You know.
I love it. Anytime, Joel. Door is open to you. Jill Gray, thanks so much. The name of the book is The Flower Whisperer. It'll be available in June.
And the name of the show is?
Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish.
I'll say.
She's a mazoyin, was mir seinen Dorf. Es hat der Poli, was dem Mechel tollen, durch ein Michelina, mazoyin geschah. Mit Basel und mit Broche, und eben Jesus sollt hier sein. Und heute der Mazel ist mit Barus, nach Maschke ist für uns alle drei.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.